Thank you all for putting up with us a second night now in a row. Amen. I do thank the church for your hospitality to Angie and I. We thank the Lord for the nice room, the gift basket, the meals. We're hitting 3 for 3 so far with the meals. Amen. Y'all keep cooking and I'm going to keep coming back. Amen. It's been some good eating and I thank you all for it so much. Good to see each one of you from the church here, and then good to see others here. I haven't met some of y'all before. Good to have y'all. I guess you're brothers to the song leaders, what I was hearing. Amen. And I don't know if that's troublemakers or what, but anyhow, good to have y'all here this evening. And good to see Brother Rodney Waycaster. The last time I seen him, I think, was just about 28 or 29 years. It's been a long time back at Tabernacle Baptist Bible College in Greenville. And so I'm thankful that you're here and that God allowed our paths to cross again. And good to see Pastor Ronnie Sutton here. Amen. And thank you for being here. And of course, Brother Brian, amen. I've been looking forward to this meeting to meet him for the first time. And man, we've had some good fellowship. He did some good preaching last night, but he does a lot of preaching outside of the pulpit. Amen. And we've been getting all kind of outlines and good stuff from him. And I'm just trying to file it away in here where I can remember it later on. And so we've certainly had a good day. Again, thank you for allowing us to be here. And I want to ask you to pray for us as we are on this furlough and planning on getting back to Africa just as soon as we can. We believe that'll be January the 4th. I told you last night we really didn't want to take a furlough. We wanted to leave from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. God did a tremendous work there. And we really wanted to go from there back into Ghana. But as we were praying about the Lord's will, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. It's interesting, the timing of everything. I just put this video together, and if you notice, there's a segment where I asked folks to fast and pray for my wife and I, and I quoted that verse where the Bible said there's a great and effectual door open, and there's many adversaries. And it was 2 weeks after that presentation was done, and before we ever showed that presentation, that she was diagnosed with cancer. And Satan always likes to let us know he's still around, amen, he's fighting, amen, and God allows things, but God worked a miracle in 6 weeks after her diagnosis and a major surgery. She's cancer-free, and I say to God be the glory, amen, no radiation, no chemotherapy. We'll have to come back once a year for surveillance, but that's okay. We're already going to come back once a year anyhow for other health issues, and just because we're on the mission field, you know, we're living in 2021. We don't have to wait 4 years to come back and see grandbabies. Amen. I'm telling you, when I joined Macedonia, I was talking to Dr. Caudill about my health, because if you know me, you know I've had a lot of health situations over the years. And I was just talking about our health. And I said, you know, if we come on with Macedonia, I said, what I'd really like is there to be an understanding that instead of us necessarily serving 4 years and coming back for a year, just that we could come back at will, you know, if I need to because of health. Or man, if I want to put my wife on a plane to go see, you know, our kids and grandkids, I want to be able to do that. And he said, Brother Upman, he said, you're not a 20-year-old. He said, you can do whatever you want to. I said, well, praise the Lord. I'll come on then. Amen. And but we do thank the Lord for how he's worked things out these last 7.5 to, I guess, almost 8 weeks now on furlough. Man, God has answered prayers for us. And Lord willing, if God lets me, I'm going to preach on the call of God tomorrow night. And I hope we have, I really do. I hope if there's other churches represented, we can get some young folks in here. I'm preaching on the call of God because I believe that we need to see a revival of people answering the call of God to go to the mission field, to step into the ministry. I believe he's calling. I believe man's not responding. And I want to preach tomorrow night on some things that I believe are fundamental misunderstandings when it comes to the call of God. And so be praying about that. But we had our church pray over us before we left, and our pastor prayed, and we prayed that if we had to go on furlough, couldn't go right back to Africa, that God would use this time to be calling folks and people hear and respond. And I say this, to God be the glory, because it is to God be the glory. We've seen 9 people surrender to the call of God, either to be a pastor or to be a missionary over the last 7.5 weeks. And I'm praying that translates into hundreds over these next 8 months. Amen. As again, we want to get back in January. And so y'all help us pray that God would work and move. Next week we'll be in Roanoke, Alabama with the Who Will Go Missions Camp all week. We've got 109 folks registered in for that camp. And these are folks that are coming because they're interested in worldwide missions. And it's not a camp for entertaining folks. It's a camp for really promoting and preaching missions and preparing for missions. And we really expect to see a lot of folks called out of that. Brother Keith Shoemaker, myself, amen, will be getting together at that same camp in Roanoke in September. and having another conference for pastors and for missionaries, and just really praying that God would be very active in calling, and that people would be very active in listening and responding to the call of God. Amen. So help us pray about that, and we appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. And I'm going to preach maybe a little different message than what I would normally preach in a missions conference. Again, a lot of missions conferences, we preach about money and we preach about giving. And I told you last night, I'll not be preaching about money and I'll not be preaching about giving at all. And really what I'd like to do, I'd like to preach about men and going. But first we've got to talk to the local church here tonight. Amen. We preached last night and Brother Bryant did a tremendous job last night. And I'm going to try to preach as quick as I can. So you have to listen fast. All right. That way he gets the time that he needs. Amen. And I want to sit and learn as he preaches. So the Bible says here in Luke 12, verse 32, I just want to read one verse. Again, I like to read a chapter normally or a half a chapter. But tonight, for the sake of time, just one verse. The Bible said in Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's read that one more time. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In our text here this evening, we find the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing His disciples, and He was encouraging them, He was mentoring them, He was instructing them, and in the midst of all this instruction that you find in this particular chapter, He says to them, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And He said that because they were like sheep. He was sending them out as sheep into the midst of wolves. And so they were a flock. And sheep, they're pretty helpless and they're pretty defenseless creatures. And not only were they sheep, but comparatively speaking, they were just a small number compared to the wolves who they were going to be sent out into the midst of. They really were just a little flock. And there was just a few of them following His voice that He would lead and that He would feed and that He would guide and He would guard. But as He instructs them as to who they are. You're a little flock. You're just sheep, and how few they were. You're little in number. But He said, I want you to know it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. While He was speaking to His disciples on that day, may I say that the church of God today is called the flock of God. And no doubt that the church of God was on His mind, at least prophetically speaking, when He made that statement to His disciples. And those great words of encouragement to that small band of followers shortly before He's going to be crucified, and they may feel like they've been abandoned, all right? The church, the Bible said in Acts 20, you know these verses. You want to turn there, that's fine. If not, I'm going to read through them rather quickly. But in Acts 20, verse 28 and 29, well, the Apostle Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Twice in that passage, the church is called a flock. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, Peter would say, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And again, twice in those two verses, we read the church being called the flock. Now, I know we have others that are visiting tonight, pastors from other places, and I'm thankful they're here, and I hope that God blesses y'all, amen, and encourages you through the message. But I'm preaching to Unity Independent Baptist Church tonight, amen. And we're not preaching, this isn't a normal missions conference. It's not normal missions conference preaching. The big focus isn't bringing a bunch of missionaries in and taking them out. I'm preaching to a little flock of believers tonight. Amen. This is no doubt a little flock. And you say, are you trying to discourage you? Not at all. I want to encourage you with this message. Amen. But the fact is that you belong to a little flock of God that's called a local church. Amen. So I want to really preach on this tonight, a little local church. Amen. The Lord, several weeks ago, I got to preach a revival meeting for another preacher, and the Lord really got my mind focused on that word little. And we preached just on a little lad, I think, on Monday night, and a little leaven on Tuesday night. And we got to this little local church on Wednesday night, and I think Thursday night a little longer, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I got focused on that word little. And when we think of the church of the living God, we think, of course, we can think of the body of Christ, but many times we think of the church, we think of a little local church. Amen. And I'm just going to tell you that by the world's standards, any independent Baptist church I've ever been to is little. Amen. By the world's standards, our churches are little churches. But I want to say that even by the standard of myself, amen, most New Testament Baptist churches that I'm aware of, most churches that we go into, in fact, most of our supporting churches, they're small. They may have a membership of 3. I've preached at church that had a membership of 3. I've preached where there's been a membership of 300. But again, we're little. Whether you're 3 to 300, that's little comparatively speaking. And I want you to know that God has strategically placed little local churches all over the map. Amen. In fact, if you start looking at the map, and I think you said there was 5 independent Baptist churches in this area right here. And that doesn't, I don't look and say that's a problem. I'm like, praise God. Amen. There's 5 independent Baptist churches here. That, to me, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Amen. But as we look and begin to look around our country and around the world, and you begin to look at a map, you find over here there's a pocket of churches, and over there there's a pocket of churches, and over there there's a city with a church, and over there there's a metropolis with several churches, and maybe over here a village with a church. And God strategically places little churches all over the map, and until every city is reached and every metropolis and every village and every town has a little church, amen, we've still got work to do, amen. I think Brother Stanley Ballou said that the job of the Great Commission is not finished until every creature has a preacher. Amen. And I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, when you and I step out, and I'm talking again to Unity Independent Baptist Church here, when we step outside of our churches, we're entering the mission field. I think sometimes we think of the mission field as being on the other side of the planet. But I could show you parables of the Lord Jesus Christ where He said the field is the world. Amen. And we were out in the mission field today. Amen. Some of you were praying, some of you were making supper, amen, and some of us were out knocking on doors, amen. But we was having a good time. I found out Amory, Mississippi is as much of a mission field as Ghana, West Africa, amen, amen, and amen. With 5 independent Baptist churches in this town, I found people today that told us they were lost without God and faced with a decision to get saved. They said, I got to think about it a little more, amen. We was over on the, I guess you call it the west side, amen. I said, that's where I'm the most comfortable. Amen. He said, that's where all the black folks are. It's African Americans. I said, I'm a missionary to Africa. I'm most comfortable over there. I'm telling you, we had the finest reception. It was the friendliest reception. I'm telling you, just about anywhere I've been in America. Amen. I mean, I'm not racist. I like white people. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I'm telling you, I knock on doors. Amen. Of white people, though. And I'm telling you, I get, man, as soon as you say the B word, the Baptist, amen, they slam the door in your face, or you're a Mormon, or you're a Jehovah's Witness. Man, I go out with African immigrants in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm not kidding. Man, you start knocking on doors, they invite you in for meals. Amen. I'd come home on Saturday so encouraged in Sioux Falls. I'd say, man, up at Hovind, where it was all those white immigrants, amen. Man, we start church up there, amen. People, I mean, they wouldn't spit on us if we was on fire. We start a church in Sioux Falls. I go on visitation, and I'm getting fed every. I mean, I'd come home and tell my wife I can't have supper because I already ate 3 suppers this afternoon. I'm not joking. Amen. Man, we went over there today to the west side. I don't know that I've ever, I mean this, that I've ever had a friendly reception of people. People inviting us in their house. Amen. And if everybody comes tomorrow night, the promise is going to come tomorrow night, we ought to have a full church tomorrow night. Amen. I hope at least a few of them keep the word and come. But I'm just simply saying, amen, that I entered a mission field today. I don't have to go across the world. That is my mission field across the world. But this is a mission field for the local church. Amen. And so I want to say that when it comes to living the Christian life, and when it comes to being a Christian, and when it comes to witnessing for Jesus Christ and doing what God has called us to do, I don't care if you're in Ghana, Sioux Falls, or Amory, Mississippi, the world in general, we find pockets of people today that are friendly to our person. Now, I got a feeling with anybody, the more you start talking the gospel, amen, the less friendly they might become, because in general, we're out there dealing with the world, amen. We're sheep in the midst of the wolves. And generally speaking, the world is not accepting of the truth of God's Word because it cuts contrary to their culture. And it does. It just cuts contrary to the grain of their self and that old Adamic nature. But I want to give you three things, or maybe four things tonight, because I added a fourth thing this morning. Amen. But my note still says three. All right. But I want to give you four things. Amen. Tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you as we focus, because I'm going to be honest with you. Well, here's what happened to me. Years ago, I was in Hoven, South Dakota, where I'd started our first church. And I was preaching there, and we had been there maybe, I don't know, Brother Waycaster, well, I guess we were there about 14 years. It was somewhere around year 8 or 9. And man, I'm telling you, the town of 500 people, and you talk about feeling like sheep in the midst of wolves. We felt like sheep in the midst of wolves. Roman Catholic town. I mean, there was some tough going back in those early days. But we'd see people get saved, brother. And I mean, they'd come to church, and then all of a sudden it was a depressed area financially and economically, and people would move out of the area. And I think like three times in that first 8 years, we went up to around 40 people and then dropped back down to 19 or 20 people, and half of them were under the age of 12. And it could be discouraging. And it was one of those Sunday mornings I was preaching, and I think I'd been there maybe 8 or 9 years at that time. I can't remember the exact time frame, but as I was preaching, I was looking out. It was one of those Sunday mornings where we had people leave because of jobs and everything, and we'd got down to about 20, and then about half of them was sick. And I've been there 8 or 9 years, and I'm preaching to about 9 or 10 people. And I'm going to be honest with you, on the inside, now I tell people I never get discouraged, but every now and then I get disencouraged. Amen. And so I'm looking at this crowd, or this lack of a crowd. Amen. And I'm thinking, man, what in the world? I've been here. And I was preaching that morning, and a part of my text took me through verse 32. And while I was preaching that morning, God the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "Fear not, little flock. For it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It might look pretty short in here. It might look pretty small in here. You may not be big in number in here, but fear not, little flock. And God encouraged me, and I want to try to use that to encourage you. And you say, "Well, preacher, we don't need encouragement." Well, praise the Lord. One day you might. Amen. So hang on to it. Amen. But number one, I want to tell you some things that Jesus told us right here in this passage about this little flock, and we'll just call it the little local church. I want to say to this church, Unity Independent Baptist Church, fear not, little flock. Your little local church has a great big Father. Amen. I mean, verse number 32, "Fear not, little flock." He said, "It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I want to remind you, no matter how small this church is, and sometimes that may be discouraging if you've been here 40 years, amen, and maybe you don't see things as they once were, and see people getting saved at the rate you once did, and don't see the pews full like they once were, can I tell you that we still have the same Father we did when things were going well, amen? We still have a Father in heaven, I promise you that, amen? And it's our Father's pleasure. It's like He's encouraging us, saying, "Hey, fear not, I know your little flock down there, but I'm still your heavenly Father, and I'm still going to give you a kingdom." Amen. And I want you to remember that. I want you to remember He's not just the heavenly Father. I want you to know tonight He's our Father. Amen. I don't just pray to a Father. I pray to our Father. Amen. Who art in heaven. Amen. He's our Father. Amen. And I just want to tell you, and Brother Bryant said this last night, but I want to say it again. Amen. God is for you, and your Father is for you. He is not against you. He is for you. Amen. He is in your corner when bad things happen to good people. He's still, that suffering's working for you. A far more exceeding weight of glory. God's for you. He's not against you. Amen. He's for the church. Now I want you to notice real quickly, and I'm going to roll as fast as I can. Notice how, when we talk about our Father, I said this little flock, I said we have a great big Father. I want you to notice how big He is. He is so big that when we start studying God, amen, I mean, somebody said about God, His circumference is everywhere and His radius is nowhere, amen. Isaiah chapter number 40 said that God poured out the oceans out of the palm of His hand, amen. I mean, I've flown across the Atlantic, and so has Brother Rodney, amen. And I'm going to tell you, that's a big old ocean down there, amen. And can I tell you, the Bible said He just poured out of the palm of His hand. God said that He measured the sky with the span of His hand, amen. God said the nations of the earth are but a drop in the bucket. That's where that phrase came from, amen, come from God. And the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. He sitteth upon the circle of the earth. He's a pretty big God, amen. This church, you may say, well, we're getting a little small in number, but you still got a great big God, amen. And I want you to know that as long as He's there, and as long as His home is heaven, and as long as He's still on the throne, amen, then you can fear not, little flock, amen. Everything's all right in our Father's house, amen. was reading over there in Isaiah 40 where it talks about He measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. But did you know that just two verses before that, watch the wording, two verses before He told us how big He was, He said, He shall lead His flock like a shepherd. Amen. He said right there, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm. He's trying to let the wording that Jesus, I think Jesus had this verse in His mind. He's thinking about the Father in heaven and how big He is. And He looks at that small group of disciples and how small they are. And they're going out as a small number into a great big world full of wolves. And He said, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. Hey, I can still take care of my flock. I'm big enough. You may seem small and insignificant, but I'm big enough to watch over you and to take care of you. And I can lead you gently through the wolves, and I can feed you, amen, in the midst of a wicked, I can feed you, amen. I want you to see, hey, boy, he's pretty big, amen. His home is heaven. Then consider how big His throne is, amen. I mean, fear not, little flock, it's our Father. Well, how big is His throne? Well, this isn't one of those judgments that we're going to be out if we're saved, amen. But the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, the unsaved will stand before what God calls the great white throne. And the Bible tells us that throne is so big, and that throne is so blazing with the holiness of God, that literally the heavens and the earth will flee away. That's a pretty big throne, amen. Can I tell you something about that throne? For those of us who are saved by the grace of God, we don't have to fear the bigness of His throne, and we don't have to fear the blazing holiness of His throne. Rather, we get to find Him at His throne. Amen. Hallelujah. Because He's not our judge. He's our Father. Amen. It's your Father's good pleasure. Amen. I don't care how wicked the world is and how small we are. And you say, man, I don't feel like we're making a dent in worldwide missions. And I don't feel like we're seeing people get saved at the rate we want to. And we're not getting the missionaries in like we want to. And they're not. Can I just tell you, God's still in heaven. Amen. God's still on His throne. And I'm telling you, you can still come to that throne of grace. Amen. When you feel small and insignificant and feel like you're running your head into a brick wall and you're spinning your tires and not going anywhere for God, you can still come into that God. Ephesians 2 verse 18 says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen. We have access through Christ. And then Hebrews 4 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you know why God said that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy in a time of need? You know why God said that? Because He knew we'd need to come to find mercy in a time of need. Amen. He knew as an individual, He knew as a family, and He knew as churches. Amen. We'd come to those places, man, where we need Him. And we don't have to fear Him. We don't have to fear His throne. We can come. Do you know that word mercy? Have you ever studied that word mercy right there? Talks about tender pity and compassion. When I was a kid, man, I'm telling you, got my mom, I got my dad, and I'm telling you, I could be riding my bike or I could be on a dumb skateboard, amen, and going down a sidewalk and fall off that thing or fall off my bike and skin my knee. And if I went and told my dad and I was crying and I had an owie and all this kind of stuff, my dad would be like, hey, suck it up, buttercup. Hey, that's just my dad, amen. I promise you, he was just like, a man up, all right? What are you crying for, amen? You'll live till you get married, that kind of thing. But I'd go to my mom. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. I'd go to my mom. Amen. And when you went to your mom, amen, my mom would always kiss the part that hurt. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. Kissing the part that hurt did not make it better, but it sure made it feel better. Amen. You know why? Because that's mercy. That's that tender pity that she had. My father didn't show that tender pity. That wasn't the way he was. But my mother did. Amen. So when I, the older I got, the more I realized if I want pity, I got to go to mom, not dad. Amen. But can I tell you, we got a God in heaven. Amen. And you say, man, I tell you, boy, I'm going through a tough time and our church is going through a tough time. And Lord God, I don't know if we can make it. Can I tell you, you can assemble at the throne of grace. Amen. You can obtain mercy and find grace to help tonight in a time of need. Amen. And He'll give it to you. And He won't rebuke you. Amen. He'll give it to you because He loves you, because He's your Father. Amen. I'm not sure where us independent Baptists quit preaching that God's our Father. Amen. I know He's our judge. I get that. I believe that. I preach that. I know that, man, for the sinner that's rebellious against God, He's coming as a judge. But for me, His Son, I am His child. I'm His Son. And He is my Father. Amen. I praise God for that. Amen. Number two, I got to roll. Because I want to hear Brother Bryant preach. Amen. And number two, this little local church, we have a great big Father. But I want you to know we have a great big family as well. He said, "Fear not, little flock." And I just want you to know that if you're in a flock, that means there's other sheepies out there. Amen. You're not the only one left. Amen. You're not the last of the Mohicans. Amen. There's more out there. Can I just tell you, starting just on a local church level, you have a family. You might be a little family, but you're still a family. My family, I wanted to have 12 kids. I'm telling you the truth, man. We got married. My wife's the oldest of 11. I said, the kids come cheap by the dozen. God didn't give us a dozen. Looking back, I think I'm happy He didn't. Amen. Man, we've had so many medical problems. It's pitiful. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we got a little family. But I know big families out there. Amen. The fact is, don't matter if you're a family of three or a family of 12, you're still a family. Amen. It don't matter if you're a flock, if you're 300 or if you're 10. Amen. You're still a flock. You're a family. Amen. Can I tell you, there are some large families, some small families, some larger local churches, some smaller local churches, but it's not the size that matters near as much as the flock to God. It's the flock that matters to God. And when I think of a little local church, I think of almost every church I was ever a member of, with the exception of Tabernacle Baptist Church, amen, which is very large. I think of the churches we've planted in the past. Most of the churches we've planted, not many more than what's right here. Most of the churches we will plant, I mean, you know, you always have these dreams like, man, I want to see 100 people. I want to see 200 people. I want to see 400. Yep, praise God. Amen. But I'm just telling you, the average church of the living God is a little flock. Amen. And that's just the way it is. And you can say, well, you don't have faith. I think I have faith. Amen. You say, well, you don't have much. Well, call me what you want. I'm just telling you. Amen. There's a lot of little flocks. Can I tell you that the majority of our support as missionaries comes from churches about this size, maybe a little larger than this. Some a little. I preached in a meeting just a few weeks ago. Three members in the church. Amen. I'm just telling you, this is about, you say, well, we ought to have more people in church. Well, do something about it if you want more in church. Amen. All right. I'm just do something about it. Amen. But I'm just telling you, we can't get discouraged and depressed and disheartened. Amen. Because it's just a few of us here. Amen. We got to fear not. It's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, I thank God for the family of God. I thank God that I'm a part of a little flock. It may be little, but I'd rather be a part of Jesus' little flock than Satan's large herd that's going to hell. Amen. You mark it down. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Anybody ever hear that old song? Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. I want to tell you that those of us that are in local church, we're part of the family. But here's what I want to remind you quickly, and I'm going to move on. I want to remind you that while you look around in this church and Pastor Rutledge is up to preach, and when the preachers have gone home and the visitors have gone home, and it's just Unity Independent Baptist Church here, and you're looking around and saying, man, where'd everybody go? Amen. I want to remind you that you're not the only church. Amen. There's a whole lot more just like you. Amen. I mean, lots more just like you. Amen. Same size. I mean, and they just keep going for God. We're part of a little flock. And then there's a little flock over here. And then there's a little flock over there. And there's a little flock. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. When God said it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom, there's coming a time the whole family's going to get together. Amen. We might be little on this side. You say, well, it's hard on this side. It's a little flock. Man, for the pastor, man, I'm just taking care of a little flock. Man, I read of mission fields and missionaries. Amen. And all the work that's going on, the souls that are getting saved, and this is just a little flock right here. But can I tell you, God said, he that's faithful in that which is least shall be faithful also in much. And He's talking about the other side. Amen. I'm telling you, we might be little here. Amen. You say, well, I feel like I'm less than the least. Well, join the ranks. So did the Apostle Paul. Amen. All right. I'm just simply saying, amen, we're a part of something much greater than what you think. Man, we get together a little church, you say, man, just 10 of us or 20 of us or 30. Man, it doesn't really matter that much. Can I just read a couple verses and I move on? Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, verse 14, if you can turn there. Ephesians 3, 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Can I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, a member of a Unity Independent Baptist Church, you're on the small end of something real big. Amen. You say, man, I just feel like we're part of a small flock, but you're part of a big family. Amen. I'm telling you, that family started with Abel. Amen. Who offered a more excellent sacrifice. Amen. Followed by Abraham, who's one of our, we sing Father Abraham about that family member. Amen. And now it's comprised of all men out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 22 said, you're coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Watch this, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Amen. You may say, well, man, I feel like we're part of Unity Independent Baptist Church, and we're so small, I feel like we're forgotten about down here. We're the church of the last born. Can I tell you that you're part of the church of the firstborn in heaven? Amen. You may be a little small part down here. You say, I'm just a little part of the wheel, but you're still part of the wheel. Amen. You say, I'm just a little part of the family, but you're still part of the family. Amen. And I tell you, we get on that side, friend, and it'll be worth being faithful all the way to the end. It'll be worth being faithful in the good times and the bad times, in the winter seasons, in the summer seasons. It'll be a wonderful day to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Stay faithful, stay faithful, stay faithful. When you get discouraged and feel like you're the last or the only one or the fewest of the few, remember, you're part of a big family in heaven and earth. We might be a little flock down here, brother, song leader, amen. But we're part of a big family up there, amen. Then I want to give you this, and I'm just about done. This little church, we got a great big father, according to that text. We got a great big family, according to that text. Can I tell you, this little local church has a great big future as well, amen. Hallelujah. Man, I'm feeling pretty good right now, amen. I'm telling you. I want to preach for the next 3 hours, but I don't want to preach for the next 3 hours. Amen. If you say, well, I don't understand that quandary. You've never been up here. Amen. Can I just tell you, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's a pretty big future right there. Being a little flock, Unity Independent Baptist Church, being in a little church, having a very few to worship with, isn't the end of the story. No. You say, man, this is it. Man, this is the end of the story. This is just the beginning of the story. Amen. I'm telling you, man, some of you have been here faithful longer than I've been alive on this planet. And you can look and say, man, where is everybody? Can I tell you, this isn't the end. You say, it's about to wind up. No, it's about to end up. We're going to heaven. Amen. I'm telling you, this is the beginning of the story. It's not the end. Ephesians 2 said that God took those of us who were dead in trespasses and sins and made us alive. That, quote unquote, in the ages to come, He might show. Brother, that's not here yet. That's to come. Amen. The best is still yet to come. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Man, this isn't the end. COVID 2020, post-COVID 2021, church is emptying out. Where'd everybody go? And this must be the end. Now, friend, I'm telling you, we're so close to the second coming of Christ, it ain't the end. It's the beginning, amen. And we've got an exceedingly great future, amen. We've got a great big God said, you're little down here, but don't worry about it. Don't be afraid about it. Don't fear because of how small you are. It's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Man, I don't have time to pray. I'm going to save you 30 minutes worth of preaching. But we could talk about the dimensions of the kingdom, because then you start seeing how big it is. I mean, that New Jerusalem is just a part of the kingdom of God. You know the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles wide. It's 1,500 miles long. And it's 1,500 miles tall. I mean, that's a long ways, friend. I mean, tall. Amen. You say, no wonder He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. We're part of that. Amen. Can I tell you, man, we talk about the dimension of the kingdom, but the duration of the kingdom. Amen. You say, how long is the kingdom? Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a pretty long time. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. And Revelation 22:5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they, that's you and I, that's a part of this little flock tonight. Amen. You say, I'm just leading, singing down here, and I'm playing the piano over here, and it's just a few of us here, and they shall reign forever and ever, amen, in the kingdom of God, amen. You're going to be more than a song leader in heaven. You're going to be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Man, Psalm 16:11 talks about the delights of the kingdom, amen. Man, that's a whole nother message right there. That will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't have time to get into that, but can I go check the definition right there. When it said at thy right hand there are pleasures, go check the definition of the word pleasures. Amen. Everything that gratifies, everything that fulfills, amen, is at the right hand of Jesus Christ. We're going to be entered into heaven to the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, heaven is so good that when God tells us to enter heaven, He doesn't say enter heaven. He says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. It's a joyful place. It's a happy place because it's heaven. Can I tell you, the Apostle Paul saw it just for a moment, and he said what he saw was unlawful for a man to utter. You say, what do you mean unlawful? He wasn't allowed to talk about it? No. You could not put into human tongue, into human language, what he saw on that side. It defied the laws of nature, amen, to be able to come and to tell how awesome it was. No wonder he said, man, I've got a desire to depart and be up there, which is far better, amen. Can I tell you, fear not, little flock. because that's the kingdom we're going to. Amen. I mean, I hadn't seen Brother Waycaster in a long time, but one day, amen, we're never going to be parted again. Amen. And I don't know, Brother Sutton, I don't know all that we're going to do on that side. I just know that he says we're going to rule and reign. Amen. And I don't want to. Somebody said where the word of God has spoken, discussion has ended, and where the word of God has not spoken, where it's silent, discussion is useless. Amen. But I sure like to, in my mind, speculate a little bit. There's verses that talk about, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. And I say, what's that mean, the increase of his government? I mean, increase means increase. Amen. I can't explain it. I don't have to explain it, but I know that the government of God, amen, for eternity future, is going to continue to grow, and you and I are going to be kings and rulers and priests in that government of God that's increasing for eternity. You say, what all does that mean? I don't know, but one day we'll talk about it. Amen. Amen. While we're doing it, amen. Well, what about that? And then we can talk about the dynasty of the kingdom. Man, but I'm going to skip that as well. And there's a bunch of stuff here, but I just got to, because I got to get my last point, because I want to hear Brother Brian. Amen. But number four, out of this morning, these three little things are seen in the text. Man, this little flock, fear not. You got a great big father. Fear not. You got a great big family. Fear not. You got a great big future. Can I tell you, with all that in mind, this little local church must. We must. Knowing I got a great big, I'm a little church, I got a great big father. We're a little church, but I have a great big family. We're a little church, I've got a great big future. With that in mind, as little as it is, and as hard as it gets, and as tough as it is, and the older our bodies get, can I tell you, we've got to remain fervent and faithful. We've got to. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Amen. It's like we can't quit now, man. You got 40-some years into this church. You can't quit now. If I heard today, I understood right, Brother Sutton was the pastor here for years. Now he's pastoring elsewhere. You can't quit now. You can't just say, hey, brother, Waycaster's got 20-some odd years in the minute. You can't quit now. Amen. You say, I've been a faith member of the church all these years and we're dwindling. Now's not the time to jump ship. Amen. No, man, stay faithful till death. Stay faithful till the end. Amen. Yeah, let me just give you three things. You say, three more things? No, this is quick. All right, number one, we got to remain fervent. We got to be fervent and faithful in our prayer. Amen. I'm telling you, if we're gonna make it till Jesus comes, we've got to be fervent and faithful in our prayer. The Bible still says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man still availeth much. It may seem little. It may seem like we're not seeing souls saved like we once did, not seeing missionaries going like we once did. All that means is we need to double down in prayer. We don't need to get discouraged. We don't need to get weary and well doing. In fact, the Bible said that Jesus spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. I'm telling you, when you feel like fainting the most is when the church needs to get on its knees for the longest. Amen. And we need to pray like we've never prayed before. Amen. Can I tell you, we got to pray for sinners to be saved like we've never prayed before. We've got to pray for sanctified folks, amen, to serve and be sent by God. Listen, soul winning and missions programs and church planting and church building, they're accomplished in and because of and through the prayers of the fervent and the faithful. Amen. We've got to stay at it. Amen. Number two, we've got to stay fervent and faithful in propagating the gospel, not just in prayer, but in propagating the gospel. And that's what this conference is all about. That's what missions local, going to the west side, amen, and missions foreign, going to the other side of the world, amen. We've got to be fervent and faithful. You can't say, well, I hadn't seen anybody get saved in 23 years, so I think I'm just going to quit witnessing now. That's all the more reason to witness more. Amen. The longer I go without seeing somebody saved, the more burdened I get. I'm going to tell you, man, I've been saved a long time. But brother, I'm telling you, when I go a long time without seeing somebody saved by the grace of God, I start checking up personally. Man, is there sin in my life? Am I grieving the Spirit of God? Is there something, amen? Why are we not seeing people saved? We could all settle for the old doom and gloom. Amen. It's the last of the gleanings. Amen. And he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But, you know, all that argument, that, you know, and you say, well, you don't believe that. Well, no, I believe the last days. I believe all that. But here's what I'm saying. All that argument of how we're not ever going to see anybody saved and how this is the most wicked time ever and how that all goes out the door when the rapture takes place and the Holy Ghost is pulled back and the church is pulled out. The Bible said during the tribulation there's going to be a number saved which no man can number. Amen. Well, how are they going to get? I mean, you talk about wicked. The Antichrist is going to be at the helm. Amen. How's that many people going to get saved then? It's going because there's people that are sold out for God, amen, that are going out there with a purpose, amen, to reach people that have never been reached before with the gospel of the grace of God. Can I tell you, you want to see people get saved you've never seen, I mean, you've never reached before. You say, how can we do that, Amory? Start going to places where you haven't been, amen. Amen. Start going to places you haven't been, people, groups you haven't reached out to in this town, in this area. I'm telling you, when I go fishing, friend, I go to a hole that's fished out. You know what I do? I don't keep fishing in a hole that's fished out. Amen. I find a new hole. You say, well, you talking about starting another church? No, there's holes in Amory that hadn't been reached yet with the gospel of the grace of God. Go reach them. Amen. We're in one such hole today. Amen. Go reach them with the gospel. Amen. They're out there. Go get you some. Bring them into church. Amen. Man, Brother Bryant, man, he's preaching last night. Man, I was done. He's starting. He's lighting my fire all over again preaching, but he's talking about those days when people used to get people in their cars and bring them down to church. Amen. Can I tell you, that's how it used to be. Somehow we got so comfortable that we're not, I mean, we're afraid to bring visitors to church in our car. We're afraid to go out to the west side. We are. Amen. And we're afraid to get people from that area of town. Amen. And to bring them in our cars to church. We're afraid. Amen. Well, can I tell you, man, you go out where people are, where sinners are, and start bringing them in. They may steal everything you got, but somewhere in the process they'll steal your heart as well. I promise you. Amen. And you'll have to go after them because you're trying to get back what you get, what they took. Amen. But get them with the gospel. Amen. You say, what do you think? You know, what do you expect me to do, Brother Robert? What, you expect me to go out and witness those kind of people, bring them kind of people to church? You expect me to go to the mission field and reach them? Amen. We might as well reach them here and there. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I can tell you about Ghana, honest to God truth. We come home from Ghana that first time and I said, those kids stole everything I had. But they stole my heart in the process. Amen. I mean, they did. Listen, man, we got to go where they are. I'm just telling you, church, keep propagating the gospel. Keep praying, keep propagating. Amen. Stay fervent. And amen, the church must go or the church cannot grow. The church must send or the church will end. Amen. Nobody, can I just say this? Nobody wants to preside over the funeral march of any independent Baptist church. No pastor says, well, I want to be the pastor that closed the doors of that church. Amen. Nobody wants to do that. Amen. So can I tell you, we got the most exciting news for Amory, Mississippi ever and for the world. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's people in this town that told us today they hadn't got it yet. Amen. Go get it to them. Amen. Get them out there. Amen. Are there any kids and families on your street? Not in church. You're on your street. And I think you know where a good church is. Get them and get them into church. You say, man, we start bringing kids into church. What's going to happen to our carpet? What's going to happen to their souls if we don't? Amen. I'm telling you guys, listen, number three, I got to be done. Fervent and faithful in the preaching of God's word. We're not just want to be in prayer and in propagating the gospel, but in preaching the word of God. Can I tell you that in the last days, and we don't have time to preach this, but in the last days, can I just tell you, right is still right. Regardless if you see a church growing by leaps and bounds, if you keep preaching right and you get littler and littler, if that's a word, can I tell you, right is still right and wrong is still wrong. God's word is still not negotiable. We don't change the word of God to bring people in, to make them comfortable to stay. We preach that book like God gave us that book. Amen. And the fervent and the passionate and the faithful and persistent preaching of God's timeless principles will bear fruit because it's the law we talked about last night. You sow it, you're going to reap it. You sow it sparingly, you're going to reap it sparingly. You sow it bountifully, you're going to reap it bountifully. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm thankful we can come into your presence tonight. And Lord God, though most of us come from a church that would be considered by the world standard a little flock, and even by some within the independent Baptist movement, they would look at our churches that we go to and say, that's a little church. Lord, I'm glad that our precious Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. With that in mind, help us to remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, to occupy till you come, oh God, and to be found busy when you come again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are